Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This is the internet's only college football podcast. If you want another one, too bad. Also, congratulations, we're all you need. Hey, I know that you may know that I'm Spencer Hall. I'm gonna summon Jason Kirk out of the ether. That's right, college football editor extraordinaire, Moon Crew member, Jason Kirk. Jason Kirk, I understand, brother, that you, like me, were touched by the bountiful blessings of what I think is going to be the college football game of the year, at least to this point, Central Arkansas and Austin Peay playing not a home game at Central Arkansas where they got the turf that comes in the dark colors. No, not the mixed dark color turf of Central Arkansas, the team that will fight anyone, anywhere. And we mean anywhere because they went where? They went to the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. That's right. You watch this with me, correct?
That's right, buddy. First of all, thank you for summoning me here. It's very difficult to breathe. Smelled etherous, I would say. Now we are here in the opposite of the ether. That would be the takeover. We're here in the takeover. This game was awesome. If this stands as the entire college football season, then I will count myself satisfied. Sure, this is good enough. Our Central Arkansas Bears, I'm going to go ahead and declare them our FCS team, our adopted FCS team for the season. If anyone wants to opt out of that, that's fine. But seeing as they are the only team guaranteed to go at least 1-0 on the year, and they did so in entertaining fashion in a completely the most week zero game of all time, I think it would be fair to say. It was week zero even by week zero standards. Filled with nonsense. You had a turnover top hat appearing on the sideline, turnover money cane. You had a quarterback punting 7-0, might I add, because the pandemic robbed Austin Peay of its long snapper. He's in quarantine. And they had two punts sailing wildly awry. So Austin Peay quarterback Jeremiah Oatesfall punted for a 38.1 yard average.
He was hot, man.
A pandemic. Like, what a weird sentence. There was a pandemic, so Austin Peay's quarterback had a pretty good day at punter.
At one point, please go ahead, Holly. Summoned out of.
Sorry, I was a guest.
Special guest, Holly.
Hang on.
Let's summon Holly from the guest ether.
Ooh, guest ether, Holly Anderson.
I was just going to say this is a name that requires almost demands some kind of Canyonero type theme song.
Oatesfall.
Right? You hear
it? Yeah. He can kick it. He can throw it. He's an Oatesfall. He did run in a TD. He also at one point had more punts than completions. I think that's a huge achievement. Who missed all of this? Who missed this glory? Well, that's special. I'm going to go to the guest ether again. Just... imagine my hand reaching out Doctor Strange style, just sitting there, circling, creating a portal and summoning one Ryan Nanny who I'm certain didn't watch this.
Do you wear a cape? Have you ever worn a cape?
Yeah, it's happened. I'm not going to lie.
Wait, all right. Have you ever worn a cape for non-band, non-Halloween reasons?
High school Spencer absolutely wore a
cape. We're like, Yeah. Ryan, that was really brave of you to not rope off sex talk like 5 minutes into the show.
You know what? I was comfortable with him going there if he needed to, but right. I appreciate high school magic dork as the better answer. Oof. No, I did not watch the Central Arkansas Austin Peay game. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I just didn't.
That's okay.
That's,
like,
that's fine.
99.999% of the world did not.
And I have a principled reason for that, though.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So Central Arkansas's mascot is the bear, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Women's teams at Central Arkansas are known as the Sugar Bears. Mm-hmm. And I think I am livid that they're not all the Sugar Bears. I think it's much better, funnier, more interesting to be the Sugar Bears in all sports, in all things, men, women, everybody who's representing the university.
I mean, the Sugar Bears are funnier because they could be like near diabetic. They're cranky. They need that fix. They're coming to take your candy.
It's also kind of like being beaten by a an off-brand cereal mascot, which I also really get a kick out of. Like, it's not the Honey Bear, and it's not the Sugar Smack Frog. It's the Sugar Bear, available only at Albertson.
I think that's a great mascot, and I think that perhaps they are no longer our FCS team. Perhaps we have canceled the Sugar Bears.
Damn.
The non-Sugar Bears.
Right. The Sugar-Free Bears. Oh, that means they're just, you're going to have terrible
The
poops.
Central Arkansas Zero Bears.
If you haven't seen Austin Peay's mascot, that mascot has foreclosed on several of my family's
Roger
farms.
Stone.
Yeah, several of my family's properties over the years. And then it's like, that's the Austin Peay, Tennessee governor. I'm like, he bought a horse from my grandfather and never paid him for it. Definitely the Austin Peay governor.
He looks like he's kicked the Demon
that
Deacon's ass.
That bastard repossessed my daddy's leg.
I'm
he
sorry.
Didn't make the payments.
He looks too beef. Like, the face on this guy looks way too stern and tough.
That's not your cedar.
So here's what I know happened in this game. I believe Central Arkansas won late. I believe there were, like, a bunch of long snapper fuck-ups, I want to say, on the Austin Peay side. Because I know Roger tweeted about this, about how they, like, maybe their top three options for long snapper did not appear in the game and maybe didn't even travel to the game. So they, like, had to alter things pretty drastically. I think there was a touchdown on the first play of the game, the first play from scrimmage, at least.
That is correct.
These are all the things I gleaned from Twitter. Matt Brown was separately making pee joke and pee tape jokes. And Jason did that too. I should, and I'm sure others did as well.
Everyone can. It's Austin Peay. That's fine.
Right. I think that's it. I think that's all I know.
It's like singing Sweet Caroline at karaoke with your family. It's wholesome and everyone knows the words, so you can do it, and that makes it not lame.
Karaoke with your family sounds terrible. Not like, I don't mean your family specifically. I mean,
screw you, buddy. We're awesome.
with one's family. Like, I would never do family
karaoke with your family sounds awful.
Family karaoke is church.
Family karaoke is delightful. That's when you find out some shocking things about, like, people can sing. You know, like when your aunt gets up there and does "My Neck, My Back," you go, "Well, we've learned some things tonight."
This may shock you. My aunt would not do "My Neck, My Back."
You don't know that. You ever done karaoke with her?
She lives in Utah. I'm positive she wouldn't.
I'm just saying. Scientifically, I still have a case. Until we put it to the test, I'm going to stay on that case.
So in your head, I should do karaoke with my aunt, put on "My Neck, My Back," and just hand her the microphone wordlessly.
I didn't sing the song. No, you just need to see if it occurs. You're affecting the experiment. That's like saying, okay, will this tiger eat me if I strap steaks to my face? Probably. You're biasing the experiment from the start. What I'm saying, get into a karaoke environment and then just see if it happens.
I like that your answer to that is probably. Probably it'll eat me if I put steaks on my face.
You don't, what? Now Ryan knows the soul of a tiger. That's what we've learned tonight. You speak tiger.
Yeah. Do you?
Not one bit, son. Not a damn word, so I assume nothing. I also don't know your aunt, so I don't know that she would or wouldn't sing Kia's classic "My Neck, My Back" at karaoke, thus give your family a gift that they will never be able to return to Target.
I have one question.
Sure.
Ryan, have you only have one aunt?
Yes. Huh. One, like, direct aunt. I have a great aunt, and I have, like, aunts removed and what, but I have one, like, straight up aunt.
Okay. So I think I think maybe one issue is you have a very small aunt sample size, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I feel like most people, you have, like, four or five, you know, untold numbers of aunts. Like, you meet aunts at, like, age 30, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, sure, you're my aunt. So, like, maybe if you had more aunts, you would have a greater hit rate on "My Neck, My Back" performances.
I will talk to my grandmothers. I'm not sure they're down for adoption at this point in their life, but if they are, maybe there's some new roster spots on the aunt team.
I will say this. Family karaoke, last note on that. My brother, taciturn, would prefer to live in a cave if he could, maybe said 400 words all of last year combined, and he was particularly talkative. When we did family karaoke, he got up there, he put on the song Sea Cruise. I don't know if you're familiar with the song Sea Cruise. It is a very old song by Frankie Ford, saying, "Ooh, baby, won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?" He got up there, sang it with as much enthusiasm as humanly possible. I don't mean for him. I mean, he absolutely destroyed it and then went and sat down and didn't talk the rest of the night. It was one of the best things I have ever seen in my life. Sure. Strongly encourage family karaoke.
I am also now realizing that the G League team, the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, should change the name. Keep mad, but change it to A-U-N-T-S, not A-N-T-S. A lot of like name learning we're having going on here.
You didn't clean up! Yeah.
Why do I always host Thanksgiving? It's because you can't cook! And you can't.
The other very exciting thing that happened in Central Arkansas, Austin P, is that Central Arkansas's tight end is fucking buck wild. This guy likes football more than anyone I've ever seen.
He does.
Established Central Arkansas is the most football-loving folks since 1899 Sewanee. And this dude, early in the game, he's scampering through the sideline, I believe the enemy sideline, and Austin P had a massive box fan that someone compared to the size of like a 2001 flat screen, you know, like when a flat screen TV would take up like a fourth of any room, where it was like the size of an armoire.
Peak of civilization.
He slams into this thing and it like topples over, and he didn't just knock over this massive box fan. He bowed up on the thing before, like, he really made sure the box fan knew who ran into it. It was number 85. And then later in the game, he trucked some dude with, like, the exact same move. That guy, let's see. His name might be Tyler Hudson. Nope, that's a different guy. Anyway, it's some other guy who's not Tyler Hudson on Central Arkansas is the most football player of the week.
Here's my question. How many times did they cut to a coach and somebody, some like GA or the get back coach or somebody had to be telling that coach like, "Hey man, you're on camera, put your mask back on. Hey, we gotta
there was like so many bare faces."
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, and it was like fast too. It was within like the first like 2 or 3 minutes that you're like, "Oh fuck. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah." They said, yeah, "Oh, he's having difficulty with the mask," is what they were saying. He's having difficulty yelling with the mask on.
Just go like full balaclava, like night vision goggles, the whole like do the whole look.
You're saying like go full Max Fisher, like full Call of Duty. See, that's how you sell it.
Yes.
You go, "Hey, dude, it's gonna look so tough if you go full COD with this."
Well, that's like this. I think we were talking about this several months ago. We did like a Waffle House episode. We're like, when Waffle House is telling you to take the shit seriously, surely you'll take it seriously. Like, people own balaclavas and night vision goggles are the people who are not taking it seriously. You know?
Do you think
I mean?
Instead of calling them just like masks, do you think it would work better if we called them tactical?
Yes.
Like it's
absolutely.
It's a tactical kerchief.
This is why I wanted to start
Did we just solve everything?
We did.
Yeah.
All right, that's lunch.
I just wanted to solve, and I wanted to be like, "Listen, here, I'm going
to
get you."
I'm trying to save time so I can go back to tweeting sexual come-ons at Ed Markey.
That's fine. Just do a
tactic. Oh, you're laughing because you're looking at the screen and not at Twitter right now where I'm actually doing this.
No, I believe you.
Just do it tactically. That's all I ask.
Jeff Fisher's been out of the league for a couple of years. I had to transfer my affections.
That is, that's fine. Like I said, just put some sort of military and or masculine spin. That's why I wanted to sell giant dick masks, the brand Giant Dick. Giant Dick, the
big
mask
dong.
That you can wear. Big dong
masks. You can't
masks.
Run with the big dong. Stay off the porch.
Stay off the dong porch.
So it goes on your face?
It goes on
your face.
That's
wait.
Right. You're putting
dong
big
on your face. Is that
big?
Wait,
yeah,
Spencer,
no.
Spencer, I got it. Stay off the verandong.
Wow.
No.
God.
Wow.
No? Really?
Yeah.
That
is correct.
God damn. All right, I'm going back to Twitter.
Was there at any point an explanation as to why this game was being played in a state that neither team is from?
No. Well, there is like So they were like, this is the FCS Crampton,
the kickoff classic.
Yeah, which, like, it's been all over. It hasn't always been a neutral site thing, I don't believe. Yeah, it's just here. It's got to happen. It has got to happen. Cool. And I saw one, someone cited TV ratings that 500,000 people watched it. I mean, as a football game, it was very fun. As a thing happening on the day it happened, I don't know why it happened. No one knows. No one made any money off it.
We're gonna have a lot of that, aren't we? That's gonna be a recurring theme this year, I suspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did these things happen and who did they benefit?
I'm kind of writing a newsletter about that at mooncrew.substack.com this week. Like,
oh, is that podcast business music?
Podcast business time, I guess.
That'll do me any favors.
So, mooncrew.substack.com. We kind of haven't explained really exactly what it is. It is, in basic terms, is Richard, Alex, Spencer, and me have started a little worker-owned collective to house a free newsletter. It publishes this podcast. It published the Sinful Seven ebook. It's sort of a chill home base for, like, minimally employed folks who happen to be the four of us. And, like, you know, someday we'd love for it to evolve into, like, a full-time thing that, you know, employs any number of people. But for now, it's just this chill little thing where we kind of put stuff, and that's cool. You know, no big grand mission statements because, like, it's 2020. So, like, you know, the mission statement is we will try to do something.
2020,
tomorrow.
We will try to do stuff. Day. Stuff then, will happen. Yeah.
Newsletter's free for you. Fullcast is free for you. We accept donations in the amount of your choice at ko-fi.com/mooncrew. It's linked on our newsletter and Twitter. The link is hard to say, so it is linked all over everywhere. We have said we wanted to have stuff to give donors. We will roll that stuff out bit by bit. First, we are working on a Booster Club Discord for those who donate on a monthly basis. I think a good goal would be to have that out within the next couple few weekends. All the stuff that, you know, if you enjoyed Banner Society Slack, Canimals, nonsense, all that, we can bring that stuff back. You can do stuff in Discord that you could not do on any other platform that we've done before. Audio watch alongs. We can do timed stuff.
Link to streaming stuff, because, you know, that's something
karaoke.
We do from time to time.
Karaoke.
We will get Ryan's aunt in there,
oh,
and she will
She's
astound
a nice
him.
Person.
First, you got to put your back into it.
She will be in there. She will perform some Meg the Stallion for us.
You know who else was a nice person? Ty Willingham. I'm just saying. Nice doesn't save you.
Technically, my aunt didn't win any games that year at Washington either. So.
See?
Oh, I was actually thinking of Ty Willingham at Kansas. Hey, speaking of which.
Yeah. Is that all of our podcast business, by the way?
No.
No?
One more thing.
Oh dear. There's more?
I really do quit.
But it's not all the podcast business, is it?
Well, I had one more. Did you have more as well?
I mean, we have our beloved sponsor.
Okay, one more thing.
That goes under podcast business?
I don't even know anymore.
How about this? Let's go with our beloved sponsor, and then I can combo maneuver chain the final piece of podcast business onto that.
Welcome to our production meeting.
Go off, son.
Who had the ad tonight?
Oh, it was me, but I'm sulking.
I thought you were happy about the Twitter man.
What if you can make Horny for Ed Markey part of your home field read?
Connor really doesn't want that.
Okay, what if you can do Horny for the Syracuse mascot? Is that a thing?
I
can get there in three moves.
Is it being horny for orange men how we got in this state in the first place?
There we go! Oh, my God! Tens! I'm holding up all the tens right now.
Oh, thank God. Your approval means the world to me.
Michael Keaton's just looking around gleefully in the stands.
Home field apparel. God,
yeah.
Fucking
do
damn
it.
It.
Do it. Do it.
No, I'm done.
Oh.
What is happening here?
I don't know.
Don't know either.
Homefieldapparel.com. Very comfortable t-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and tank tops and pants.
Homefield Apparel is as good as this podcast is not.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazingly good. That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Why do they advertise here?
Possibly because we, despite our lack of skill, appreciate the craft, care, flair, and real thought put into every single Homefield Apparel product.
I know that Ryan has told this story before on the show about it not even being remotely cold in Nashville yet and his wife already having swiped one of this season's hoodies. And we found out this week that the same thing happened to Brian Floyd. Here is Brian Floyd to tell you all about his wife, Alicia, stealing his Hawaii Rainbows hoodie.
That's right, Brian Floyd. The hoodies are extremely...
You said it, Floyd.
They're very good. The offer code, FULLCAST.
Probably.
As always. 20% off is the number that we had previously. Is that still the same number?
That is correct. That is correct.
Push the button. Roll the dice. Syracuse coming up next. Then the home field on their Twitter account, they're keeping a weekly ranking of who posts the biggest day one sales numbers each time a new school is announced. Pitt, of course, currently number one.
Monsters.
That will be challenged in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe we could talk about Syracuse. We talk about how Slippery Rock did beautifully.
It will not be challenged by Syracuse.
No.
Not all that much, but.
No, but there will be somebody on the way. I will say, Colorado School of Mines, strong showing.
I got a bold prediction. I got a hot take here. All right. Pitt.
Let it go.
Pitt number three.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wait, like by the end of the year, at the end of the year?
Yeah, we don't really know how long this is going to last, right. which means the home field thing is kind of like actual college football. We don't really know how long it lasts or when it ends. But I would say, yeah, by the end of the calendar year, pit number three.
Okay. You know what? Pat Narduzzi's happy with three.
Which former Big East team do you want home field to get next? Because they've gone on a little bit of a run here with Pitt. With Virginia Tech, Rutgers is in there as well.
UConn, Syracuse.
Yep. So who is the rest in peace Big East team? And you can say TCU. Technically that counts.
Mm-hmm. Even Boise though, State for like six yeah. minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So could you? I mean, you could go Miami.
You could.
You could go Temple.
You
if
could
if you really wanted to, because Temple, remember, had the indignity of being kicked out of the Big East, which I think was an achievement.
Yeah.
Can we hit him with Creighton? Let's go Creighton.
Was Creighton in the Big East? I don't think they were. I'm looking at the membership timeline,
yeah, and, I mean,
which is
in,
real
in,
weird.
Yeah, Creighton's in there. Some point.
Are they?
Like
are
at
they?
1906. Somewhere in there.
Are you thinking of a Marquette?
Didn't the Big East have that thing
Creighton,
where
Big
they had
East.
A huge...
They're in the Big East right now.
Well, that's I'm talking about the old Big East. The new Big East is a lie.
Yeah, the new
and
Big East.
And a fraud.
Also,
no.
Basketball Big
Established
East and
May
football Big East.
1979. It's the same conference.
Yeah, but remember, they had the deal where they had a basketball-football split. So
yeah, but now they have... split and from football entirely.
<It's> innovative.
this is a real sentence on
which
Wikipedia.
Is just like large swaths of America at the moment.
This is a real phrase on Wikipedia. The Big East, often referred to as the classic Big East. I like that because it sounds like, hey, remember when the Big East was made with more sugar? Remember yes. when the Big Remember when before the government regulated Big East and it just had plenty of tar?
84% more horse meat.
Back when the sugar bears were in.
Yeah, the sugar bears.
Also, I learned from this Wikipedia entry that Rutgers and Holy Cross initially declined to join the Big East when it was formed.
That's amazing.
I think the best Big East member on here would be the Denver Pioneers lacrosse programs.
Hold on. Hi. Wait a second.
Yep.
In 1982, I'm reading this verbatim. In 1982, Penn State applied for membership, but was rejected with only 5 schools in favor. Penn State needed 6 out of 8.
You know, that's... these yeah. Penn State haters walked so that we could fly. I'm just saying, I'm grateful to them. I'm grateful to those who have gone before us.
I don't think I... My whole view of life is different now that I know that Penn State wasn't good enough for the Big East.
And this was peak Penn State. Like,
God.
I think maybe they just didn't want that hassle. They didn't want, you know...
This is Ja Rule demanding too much money to appear in the Fast and Furious series, right? And then ending up losing it to Ludacris.
Yeah, like this is Jason's right. This is a Penn State that's like consistently finishing in the top 10.
Oh yeah,
years in a row.
This is big. Listen, man. This is big money Penn State, and the Big East was like, nah. Miami's going to be good forever, and they're never leaving.
Well, I choose to believe at this point in time, one of the Big East members was a time traveler and was like, no, Penn State, I cannot let you join. Yeah. The ship is doomed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The unsinkable Big East may not offer you passage.
If there's no more football after a few weeks this fall, we should just read Wikipedia live on air.
Well...
Because this is pretty fun.
I kind of have a, you know what? Reading Wikipedia live on air has made entire careers. So
it's true.
Yeah. Often without attribution. This is a funny podcast where we never list our sources. That's not what I'm going to do tonight, by the way, to transition out of this. Which is, I wanted to say that the Big Ten has been engaged in what I would consider to be the least substantial and most puffed up story of this entire pandemic regarding football. You know, you get like 30 parents who are super bad and show up in cargo shorts to yell at the headquarters, and now the president's involved, which is how you know it's not actually a real story. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Big Ten trying to do the responsible thing and maybe fumbling the messaging somewhat. I want to talk about how the Pac-12 has actually made a difference. That's right. I want to say kind things about the Pac-12. You ready for me to say kind things about the Pac-12? Maybe
do
not.
It.
I'm going
do
to go
it.
In. I'm going in anyway with your responsible science, because while the Pac-12 kind of gleefully canceled the season, like, that's my favorite thing about the Big Ten has had this like, oh, let him play. Let my boy on the field. He's just going to be at home kicking cans and fighting in the streets with the urchins.
Yeah, that was the only part of this argument I liked, where they included juvenile crime rates, that high school association and the Pac-12 did, as though to threaten to become juvenile criminals themselves if they were not allowed to have their football and their other sports.
Yeah.
Like, I just, at this point, all I'm saying is, at this point in the timeline, I appreciate a fresh argument.
The Pac-12, the only well-adjusted people involved culturally with this sport, said, yeah, we'll come back. School, we're gone. What are you going to do? We just, you know, like, I'll hang out.
We're just going to chill. We're just going to chill real hard.
I'm going to take out the harpsichord and go hiking, you know, maybe work on my garden. There's things to do, man.
I'm getting into homebrewing.
Yeah, I'm going to spend a lot of time
no,
on my
never
bike.
Never mind. Not worth it.
Yeah. I'm just going to, you know what? I'm going to do other things. Pac-12 was like, hey, my dance card is full. Next name. That's where I'm going. Meanwhile, the Big Ten's like, don't leave. Don't leave. So.
That's an amazing Big Ten voice. What was your inspiration?
The Newt Rockne story, and basically every supporting character in it talks like that.
It's going to be good in, like, December when the coaches are still floating rumors that, like, the Big Ten's kicking off in October of 2020. They're going to figure
now.
Out.
It's
we're
coming.
We tied a rope to October, and we're going to pull it back.
I hear a great beefy rumbling on the horizon.
The firmament will crack.
Could that be the big... Here it comes, folks. Whoa.
Like we got a big beefy storm front blowing in.
We're going to push the earth backwards on its axis, reverse time, and start football in October.
Oh, now y'all believe in science.
The people demand Nebraska, Purdue.
Yeah, y'all chill. You know how many necessary things are happening right now? Not many. You know what's not necessary ultimately? Football. It's not. Pac-12 is the only conference that has completely 100% accepted this. And in response, Washington State was like, yeah, we'll take care of that. Psych! I have the biggest COVID outbreak in the United States in Pullman. Woo! But not every university's had that response. And there's a real reason I'm getting to this, because I'm not prone to going off and just doing propaganda willy-nilly for the University of Arizona. However, I'm going to share with you a story from last week that I think I really need to expand upon. The NBC News headline is this: how the University of Arizona used number 2 to solve its number 1 problem, the coronavirus. Turns out, University of Arizona managed to track an outbreak at the Likens Hall dorm by testing wastewater. That's right, COVID shows up in wastewater well ahead of any actual symptoms and well ahead of anything that's traceable in using standard methods. There are a couple things I want to highlight about this. One, some scientist out there is just looking at poop water for a living over and over again. So whenever somebody says, follow your dreams, you can be anything you want. If this is the thing you want, congratulations. You're like, I really like to look at poop all day. You can say it out loud as long as it's science.
Florida State Twitter, you say we never talk about y'all anymore.
Whoever coined the term wastewater, like A+ to that person, to that like scientist or marketing specialist or whoever, because it's vague enough that people can be like, oh, I guess when I drain my pasta, that's what happens to that. That's probably what that means. And in fact, it's just poop water.
And absolutely amazing, amazing, like, amazing cleansing of an otherwise distasteful subject.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. Now, the thing that I want to get to is this, that the guy who is in charge of this effort at the University of Arizona is named Ian Pepper. He has a doctorate.
He's named what?
Ian Pepper. That's correct. The
Spell
poop
it.
Doctor is
Spell it.
P-E-P-P-E-R. That's correct.
Hmm.
He is Dr.
Of the Fansville Peppers.
That is correct. He's now part of the Fansville universe. You can write him in, because Dr. Ian Pepper is the poop master at the University of Arizona. Couple highlights here. Each day, he and Nicholas Betts Childress, a junior in Arizona studying engineering management, collect samples at 10 locations.
Yeah.
A punishing 10 locations. Maybe
hold on. When it says each day, he and a junior, it means the junior does
it. Means
the
junior.
Okay.
Yeah, man, buddy, that's a hell of an internship.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Dr. Pepper, by the way. This is in Arizona, so you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe it'll be cold enough. It's 120 degrees.
Hot poop.
You're not
poop
escaping.
Water.
You're not escaping a single fragrance or note. Getting
Dr.
all of
Pepper,
it.
Dr. Pepper did promise you hands-on experience if you worked
at a certain point. You're getting baked specimens, though.
This
which like
steam,
if it's
steam
if it's,
poop.
No, yep. I mean if it's charred enough, then that. That's not going to make it great, but
it
could take certain
desiccate.
Edges off.
It's too moist.
If it bakes enough, to lose some of the 23 flavors is what I'm saying.
This sounds like
what
I think.
Would now be a great time to bring up the fact that tonight's glowing orb in the sky is referred to as the corn moon?
I think it's very relevant. A few things to cover before we cover the glorious Scott Frost evening corn moon. is this.
Happy Scott Frost
Dr. Ian Pepper is quoted as saying.
Still funny.
Because poop doesn't lie, poop can tell you the truth about you and your community.
Oh, he really worked for a long time on that. You can tell. I'm not going to make fun.
Guys.
He did.
Important development on Dr. Ian Pepper.
Oh, please. No.
So, got his bachelor's degree from the University of Birmingham in Great Britain. So, first of all, this is British Dr. Pepper.
So, it's Peppa.
Living in Arizona. Sergeant Pepper's son, Dr. Ian Pepper. Where do you think he got
That's Barry's
his,
boy.
Where do you think he got his master's and his doctorate from?
Notre Dame.
No.
University of Alabama, Birmingham.
No.
That Jason? Would be an amazing Birmingham switch.
Jason, you want to go for the...
Yeah, Creighton.
The Ohio State University.
Yeah!
Is that a good school?
Where did I receive the secrets of poop science? Who understands the Matrix?
My God.
You're coming full circle with me, Holly.
Everything. Yeah, no, to every you're thinking what I'm thinking, aren't
poop
you?
Cooler?
There's everything
poop
there is a season poop cooler.
That's
all
right.
All of you beautiful specimens out there defecating into styrofoam buckets on cold asphalt. It happened for a reason. There's a reason for all of it.
Dr. Ian Pepper was out there going, "You know what? I'm going to make flowers bloom from this shit." He did.
God,
he did.
Yeah.
Man, and studying poop biology at Ohio State. That's like, well, I want to pick up French. I should head to the Sorbonne. Right?
You know what? I guess you could say the spot was good for Dr. Ian Pepper. Wasn't it? Wasn't it, Michigan?
I would mostly also like it because he applied to Ohio State and they were like, oh, hello, Mr. Pepper. We see you've done very well in your studies so far. What would you like to study here at Ohio State? And he said, poop. And they said,
and they sat back and they're
accept
like,
accept it.
They sat back and they said, we're not so different, you and I.
You're home. It
fellows across the pond.
Man, it's really like, that's one of those fields that's like trash and like mortuary sciences where you go, hey man, I should do that because, you know, like, oh, endless demand. Because you think, yeah, I can get used to that. Man, I bet 3 days into that curriculum, you're like, nope. Nope. And if that doesn't do it, getting out and going, hey, I have my internship this week. Week after that internship, you know whether you're there or you're not.
Yeah,
I'm guessing most people not.
I think if you make it 2 months into poop science, you're a poop science for life.
Yeah, just like, listen, you'll get used to it. You'll just
I can't
get used
remember
to it.
Who said this, if it was Roger Ebert or somebody else, but when Hot Tub Time Machine came out, I remember there being a movie review saying that films like this do the audience a great service in advance. Because you hear the words Hot Tub Time Machine and you know immediately, one way or the other, whether this movie is for you.
It's true. No, I really like a title like that. For instance, by the way, Wastewater Science, right? Like,
it's extraordinarily straightforward.
I think that's why they haven't changed the name Animal Husbandry. They're like, hey, yo, you're going to have
You're going to jack some quadrupeds.
Yeah, you're going to be all up in it. And
God,
you need
now
to
we're
be
back
ready
to
for
Ohio
that.
State again.
So the last thing on this I wanted to say was, one, this gives an entirely new meaning to the term bear down.
Why are you like this?
And in addition to that.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's all fine. Right. It's cool. It's cool, man.
Excuse
just go
me.
With it. It's cool.
I agree with Holly.
No, it's not
no,
cool
no,
at all.
No, we're not the hosts of this program.
That's right.
That's right.
Clearly.
You are but guests. In addition to
we'll start our own full cast where we don't talk over each other and I don't know what else.
Who the fuck would listen to that?
Not us.
And then in addition to that, I think this is basically a premise for an amazing single season of high quality television about Pepper. It'll be called Pepper.
Is this like a crime procedural?
Yes,
no,
it'll be
cause
about
I started watching Grantchester this week, so there's been a lot of sad vicar talk.
No, but there will be a there will be an entire thing about a detective who solves crimes using only
what?
Wastewater science.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's it. Only ways. Like, don't you want to see the crime scene? No, I just need the poo. Just show me the poo. I'll tell you everything you need to know.
Where is his toilet, detective?
Yeah, that's yeah. This is the crime scene. Well, I'm definitely looking at a crime scene here.
And yet the evidence is in the other room.
That's it. It's an entire thing about, like, you know, that, like, he solves crimes based on just the poop involved.
Right.
That's all.
And like a true crime procedural, we can stretch the truth of this to just be like, wow, he knows what kind of bullet this man was shot with because of the poop he took 3 days before his death. How?
That's right.
Doesn't matter. He's Peppa.
Before.
Yeah, Peppa, he's...
That's right.
Peppa's just that good. There'll be an entire thing, a tense interrogation room showdown between a suspect who does not want to give a sample, but Pepper will just wait him out.
Here, have another sugar-free gummy bear.
This guy's good.
A sugar-free gummy bear from Central Arkansas.
That's right.
Pepper, only on USA.
Also, is this the part where we talk about how Notre Dame is playing a football game in 2020 on USA Network?
This is absolutely where we talk about that.
God. They're going to so NBC is going to try to just like do their usual thing on, but it just happens to be on USA. And that is a mistake, because they should just USA the shit out of this broadcast. Like, mm-hmm. The two leads in Psych, they should be calling the game. Adrian Monk should be involved in some way. Burn Notice should be referenced all the time. These aren't even shows that are on USA anymore, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They should just USA the shit out of it.
I mean, we should reference USA Up All Night, even though USA's gone to bed steadily at 10 p.m. for the past
Correct.
20 years.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. Ski School has to be on streaming somewhere, though, right?
I would think so.
I hope
Ski School is being streamed somewhere 24 hours a day, or this is not the America I know. Mm. Okay. Did we mention what that Notre Dame game is being preempted for and put on USA for? That's
That'd
important.
Be- That'd be that'd be golf.
Yeah, golf. Golf. Which I feel
No, that makes perfect sense. I realize I'm defending a major TV network right here, and they don't really, you know, need or ask for that, but why should NBC preempt the US Open for a non-conference ACC football game?
Because it's against USF and Notre Dame will be out for revenge. Because they lost.
Good, because yeah, let's remind everybody they lost. Yeah, we do. I also think, by the way, like that is, Notre Dame fan would completely agree with that. Like, well, how are you preempting Notre Dame football? It's with the U.S. Open. Oh, that's right. I got to watch Phil, my guy. Every Notre Dame fan, by the way, turns into like Thurston Howell's grandson when I talk to them.
That's not inaccurate, so.
Yeah, we do actually have football games this week.
What?
Yeah. That's still happening, believe it or not. And guess who's playing on Thursday? Jason, let's bring this home, baby. Who's playing on Thursday?
You're goddamn right, brother. The Central Arkansas Bears are back at it. Like 110 hours after they dispatched of Austin Peay. They're still sitting in the ring. They've been there this whole time.
Back in Alabama, no less.
Hey, it went pretty well last time.
That's true. That's
yeah,
point.
We should say, as of this recording, there are football games that are scheduled to happen. Who the fuck knows, like, what percentage of these will actually happen? But they are listed. They are listed. The contracts have been signed, so forth.
It is a
very, very, like, power conference teams are not playing yet. We are still getting an odd assortment that's like a very particular slice of the country, with the exception of, I think, BYU, Army, and Navy. Thursday night, you got actually Dusty Rhodes here. I'd like to invite you to come to this weekend of college football with Dusty Rhodes Mid-South International Airlines. We're going to go from Conway, Arkansas to Jonesboro, Arkansas. We're going to go from Birmingham, Alabama to Mobile, Alabama. We're going to go from Hattiesburg, Mississippi to Richmond, Kentucky to Huntington, West Virginia to Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes,
we're going to go from Murfreesboro, Tennessee to Dallas, Texas to San Marcos, Texas to Houston, Texas to Denton, Texas to El Paso, Texas. And, brother, we're going to bring it home to Nacogdoches, Texas.
You had to say that.
Dusty Rhodes Mid-South International Airline, now partnering with Antifa Airline, and we fly to all destinations except Charlotte, North Carolina, because our hineys are a little too big to fly to Charlotte, North Carolina. There's also BYU Army and Navy mixed into this, but I guess I feel like Dusty would travel to see Army, and like, it's for the troops, you know.
It would be.
I don't know if he's ever heard of Mormons, but.
These are all places where you would be, where you can follow your name, comma, and then it would be the place, and it would be like, you know, arrested by the ATF, right? Apprehended by a secondary federal law enforcement agency in said place. All of these places, all of these destinations, all of these teams, great places to be apprehended after a lengthy manhunt.
Looking at this schedule, it is becoming...
manhunt.
That could be a good episode title too. looking at this schedule, it is very clear that the thing you are used to doing on Saturday, which is to say, turn games on at noon Eastern, keep them on until ? If that's what you do, or just like hop in and out. That strategy will be very different because, like, let's take 3:30. This is Central Time, so 4:30 Eastern. You're going to get SMU at Texas State. And that's it.
That's it.
If that game's not good,
it won't
sorry.
Be.
And it won't be because SMU should, like, beat the shit out of Texas State, right?
Yeah.
It should.
So, yeah. Like, if you're bored by that and if you're thinking, well, I'll just flip over to ESPN News, nope. Not going to be doing any of that. The night games, I mean.
It feels like the first Saturday bowl season, you know, where it's like, oh, we're all so fired up. And then, oh, fuck, we're watching, you know, oh, God damn it. We're watching Marshall, you know.
I'm so excited.
I was going to say, it's like when the New Mexico Bowl actually turns out to be kind of fire and you're hyped up for that. And then you realize, like, about 2.5 quarters into the New Orleans Bowl that all the fun is happening outside of the Superdome.
It's Halloween where half the candy is good and plenty's.
You're going to eat them.
Yeah. And, like, there will be a load of Reese's Cups. Like, one of these games will be Reese's Cups. But
they're few. They're few and far. They're few and far between, man.
There's going to be a lot of raisins.
The
week zero.
We keep coming back
like
to poop
fireworks
water.
For Halloween.
Yeah, right.
Why are you giving the kids fireworks for Halloween? Why not?
Dr. Pepper will be the first one to tell you there's going to be a lot of raisins.
I did have one more piece of podcast business. Go to Home Field Apparel, buy a shirt. Speaking of, if you know someone who might like to pay to advertise on this program, and why wouldn't you? After what you've heard to this point, who could resist paying to be a part of this?
No, Serper took out all the bad shit, so the show is now 16 minutes long.
Yeah, now that you are like 4 minutes into this podcast and it's all been perfect, shutdownfullcast@gmail.com and someone can talk advertising with you. That's it. That's the end of podcast business.
It'll be Spencer.
Yeah, it'll be me.
Oh,
yes.
We're going to make tens
Spencer,
of dollars.
Reel in some big fish now, brother. You got to reel in some big deals.
This you mean actual fish.
This is our negotiating strategy. We have Spencer in charge of the email account.
Spencer returns to the computer with a salmon clenched in his jaws. I'm like,
I did it.
Did I do good?
I won the fat bear competition.
Hey, that is my throne.
Spencer's mailing us boxes of fish, like you said.
You're like, this is, you know, I have such video game brain that I'm like, box of fish? I could probably barter that for a crossbow.
Poor pelt.
Yeah. If
okay,
it was Arkansas, that's totally true.
If you actually came
true.
Back with a load of crossbows, I wouldn't be mad.
Insane.
If you have a crossbow company and you would like to advertise on this show, put down fullcast at gmail.com.
Tactical crossbow company. Call me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the entire.
Wait, what are non-tactical?
You have boxes
crossbows.
Of fish.
Yeah,
are there decorative crossbows?
Are there like casual crossbows?
Like
business casual crossbow?
Like the Weekender crossbow? Like your LL Bean crossbow?
Sure.
That's
yeah.
Just not really my thing.
I think. Is it so like tactical as in like, you know, sneaky? So it's like super loud crossbow, you know? Like when you fire it, it yells.
It's got
like,
an air horn.
I've been fired.
Yeah.
You pull the trigger and it says four.
I just want one that does, you know, like Fallout Boy when I play it.
Uh-huh. Like
crack
a whole
and
song
pull it.
Or, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Winding a crossbow actually kind of sounds like Fallout Boy.
Yeah, or if I can do one that just does nothing but. This is the thing, by the way. In terms of people that I would love to advertise in this program, I would like the Slipknot Apparel Company, the Slipknot Apparel site, to advertise here. So I'm going to give you a little free business here. You can buy the old school AJ Soprano approved Slipknot jacket for
$70. The one that you accused Ryan of wearing on last week's program.
Yeah,
that's
you
right,
can. We, by the way, made that happen because I made a joke to Ryan about it. And guess what popped back up for sale on the site this week?
Once again.
That is correct.
You have lost your ability to tell time, but you have not lost your touch for speaking horrific things into existence.
Thank you.
It is a gift and a curse.
No, it's just a curse. There's no gift.
Is it possible we're the only thing keeping the economy afloat? Like that Slipknot jacket was the only thing sold in America that week?
3 million of them shipped. It was nuts. How great would it be, by the way, to see like a bunch of middle-aged guys wearing Slipknot jackets to Lowe's with masks on? Oh god, I gotta buy some mulch. Better get my Slipknot jacket.
The best jacket,
you know,
I've
what?
Ever seen.
I would be happy
person.
Because they would be wearing masks.
That's true.
This is one way to get these guys to wear masks.
Point.
So let's do it.
Wow.
Tactical kerchiefs, please.
Can we try a game that I just came up with this week, and I want to see how it goes? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I see no way of stopping you.
No, you can. I'm afraid that you'll hurt me.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. All right. So this is how this game is going to work. I have picked a week from modern college football history. So like post World War II. I'm not going to give you really weird old weeks, but I have picked a week, and I have picked out four final scores from the week, and I want to see if you can identify or how close you can get maybe to the year of that we're talking about just based on these four final scores. And I will tell you, if applicable, what the teams involved were ranked. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
Game number one, number three, Oklahoma beats number four, Ohio State, 29-28. Number three, Oklahoma beats number four, Ohio State. Close game. Game number two, Kentucky, unranked, beats number 17, West Virginia, 28-13. West Virginia's ranked 17th. Upset by unranked Kentucky. Possible bigger upset, slightly bigger upset at least. Number 15, Washington State, loses to Kansas by a score of 14-12. Kansas unranked, your fourth score. Number 5, Penn State, beats Maryland, who's not ranked, 27-9. Based off of those four final scores, what year do you think this is?
Jesus.
So Penn State beating Maryland.
Yeah.
That narrows it down to literally any year, first of all.
Okay. Yep. You're welcome.
Washington State being ranked is a tipper there. Okay. There's really only certain
Wazoo
times.
Wazoo and KU, they have only played like two or three times, if I recall correctly, and they were both fairly recent. If I recall correctly, at least.
Oklahoma, Ohio State, not as common as I want it to be.
right? Like, I'm like, oh, they used to play all the time. That's not true. Like, there's a kind of nostalgia that people my age have for, oh, man, out-of-conference games used to be better. No, that just used to be the only game you could watch on TV, so it seemed like it was always happening. It was not. It's tricky.
What was the West Virginia Kentucky score again?
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky beat West Virginia 28-13. Kentucky was not ranked. West Virginia was 17th.
Okay, yeah. I know for a fact this is before I was born then, because they have only played twice in my lifetime and West Virginia has won both times.
Wow.
So we're looking before 82.
Yeah, I'm going to say though it's early Don Nealon if they're ranked. Is my guess, right? So I'm going to go, this feels like late 70s, is my guess.
I was thinking of a different Wazoo opponent, I think. If Ohio State and Oklahoma were both ranked that highly, it really, I'm not thinking of an 80s year that would fit.
I'm telling you, I think this feels like late 70s. So I'm going to get, can I foster a
sure,
guess?
Yeah, here? you can each throw out a year.
I'm going to
say praise whoever's right.
76?
I'm going to say 79.
So Holly says 1976. Spencer says 1979. Jason?
I'll keep the mathematical formula going. I'll say 73.
1977. So good. You all did a very good job.
I feel okay with that. Yeah, no, it's not bad.
Of narrowing down to what this was weirdly week four. In 1977, I did leave off number 13 Florida beating number 12 Mississippi State, and Michigan beating number 1 Michigan beating Navy, unranked Navy, 14-7. So, if you've noticed yeah,
I feel that score is the one that would most translate to any year. That is what would happen.
The
anytime,
most
number 1 Michigan played the Service Academy.
The other one that maybe works in some senses, also from this week, number 18 UCLA losing to unranked Minnesota 27-13. Like number 18 UCLA losing to an unranked opponent, that also has like a certain timeless quality. Not necessarily a Big Ten opponent, but just anybody out there in the universe. If and when UCLA is ever ranked, I don't know, 12th to 20th, whoever they play next, you are the king killer. That's, well, not the king, but the Bruin killer. The Baron Slayer.
Like a Duke killer or Baron killer.
Yeah, your Franz Ferdinand killer, you will.
This actually reminds me of an important question Holly and I were discussing earlier with Floyd. And Floyd can weigh in here if he wants as well.
Yeah, Floyd, please give us your perspective on this too.
I'm just going to ask it to Spencer and Jason Cold. Where is the best place to be on a royal line of succession? Like,
Let's let them give their answers before we give the one that I think we ended up agreeing on.
Yeah, like what number ranking do you want to be in?
And we're looking for like an intersection of two axes here. We're looking for like, where is the sweet spot of you have prestige and people have to treat you royally, but also you don't have a whole lot of responsibility.
Yeah. You're not worried that, oh, people are judging me because I am the likely future regent.
No, they're just judging you for all the normal reasons, like you barfed up a whole bunch of pastries in the backseat of a pedicab.
Vomited up a whole lobster.
Yeah. Surprise is intact.
That's his German blood. He's intolerant of shellfish.
Oh, good. You're thinking season 1 of The Crown, which is also what we were thinking.
Yeah, that's great. I'm in there.
Having played a fair amount of Crusader Kings 2, my perspective is that I want very minimal responsibility. I want to be very, very middle of the... like. Assassinations is the number 1 thing to avoid here.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You get too high and you're an assassinations target. And you're going to have people trying to invade and take your shit. And all your children are going to be trying to assassinate you so that the thing comes to them. But if you're in the middle, you can probably live out most of a full life before you get assassinated. So, yeah, just plot me anywhere in the middle. You know what? I'll just remain an Earl. I'm already an Earl. I'll stay an Earl.
That's good. I'm going to take... Can I give a numerical answer?
Sure.
I want to be fourth.
Fourth, okay.
Like fourth in the line, okay? Because that's still, you're going to swing some power with fourth because, I don't know, maybe there's a car crash. Maybe there's a plane crash, right? But if I'm fourth, chances are, I was trying to think of the number of people who would be required at any event. And you don't want the one and two together, but you still want to get invited to the good parties, right? So right. There's probably going to be some protection against, well, you can't have everyone killed at once. That's not good. So what they'll probably do is they'll probably say, okay, the one and two can't be there, but I still want to be at the good parties. So I definitely want to be in the top five. However, I don't want to be mandatory, which would be third. I want to be able to beg off of some of this, correct? I want
you,
to say,
so you think well, the, you think the fourth doesn't get like the shit where they're like,
I'm open to input here. I'm just feeling like fourth.
Do royal families? It sounds like what you're describing is the actions of like the U.S. cabinet.
Yeah.
Do royal families treat events like that? Like they're
do
always
they
turning
have
up
a
at weddings, like
survivor.
Yeah,
like they're
that's
always
what I was
turning
gonna
it.
Ask.
Well, that's what I'm asking because there's so many of them. Does it even matter? Like well, that's the reason they have lines of succession that go down that far.
Maybe after the documentary King Ralph, wherein the entire royal family is electrocuted in a reunion photo.
Yeah.
Yes.
John Goodman, confusingly wearing a Bears hat and a maybe it's a Cubs hat and a Packers jacket. What an asshole. Becomes a king.
So the answer that Floyd and I both landed on independently was a generational solution. You take the ruler, and then you take their younger sibling, their next younger sibling, right? The second in line to the crown, and you take that person's kid. That's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Because you are so far removed. Like, you're this person, your parent is also out of the line of succession because presumably the ruler has had multiple children at this point. So you're starting out at like 11th. And that's before any like surprise babies or grandbabies come into the picture. But also, you know, you are in the orbit of the immediate family of the throne. So you get invited to all the good parties and you have a dope place to live.
That's where I want to be.
But that's... also none of these people have air conditioning. I'm still not sure it's worth it.
Currently, Wikipedia lists 59 people on the active British line of succession, like people who would conceivably 58 people could die, and then this 30-year-old person would become the head of the House of Windsor.
Yeah, that's how Alabama's coaching staff worked.
Yeah. That's how their hiring process worked for a while.
No, it's how it still works. That's why Butch is still there.
Yeah.
If 59
He's still there, right?
59 people die, Butch Jones will be the head coach of Alabama.
Don't you think he knows that?
What the difference is, and I think the thing that should happen is, especially with Alabama, is it's got to be weird for, like, I don't know, let's say Prince Edward, who's born in 1964, and at some point, like, he is a child of Queen Elizabeth II, but, like, he keeps seeing new, like, babies keep jumping him, and that's got to be a kind of a weird feeling to be like, yep, see all those four babies? See that baby who just shit right through its royal diaper? Ahead of you. Ahead of me in line.
You said babies keep jumping at him, and I'm like, in the street? Like babies keep rolling up. Babies keep rolling up to him, and they're like, throw down, old man!
Edward, fight a baby.
Britain is rough, man.
I'm taking over all everyone's dead voices, and I'm making them worse.
That baby has a knife on him! Of course he does. He's feisty. I like him.
I mean, Prince Edward should have showed more initiative. It's like,
I should say,
ultimately it's his own fault.
I should say I have in the middle of listening to the Vacation Bible School episode about Moses, but are you saying Prince Edward should have murdered more babies?
You know what? You want the job or not?
No. I'm referring to birth order here.
Okay.
Listen, either way, that is solutions-oriented thinking on Jason's part.
Actually,
who's easier to pay off than a baby, though?
Ryan, yeah. Ryan, I'm giving yeah. you a Jacob and Esau solution,
right,
not a
right.
Not a King Herod solution.
King Herod
like
had
I
some
said,
solutions,
although he
though,
had
man.
Some good ideas.
Like I said, I've been listening to the Moses episode. There's a lot of infant death in it. That's all.
Yeah, there's more coming.
And by infant death, you mean babies rolling up on people and going bah, bah, bah.
Yeah, infant death squads is actually what he meant.
Yeah, they don't tell you the first plague was actually a plague of babies.
That's right. Unruly babies.
I believe this completely.
You ever seen a baby with a butterfly knife? You will.
Actually, you can make this case. So, like, Exodus 2, what is the big problem for the Egyptians? Oh, God, there are too many Israelite babies here. That was the first plague of babies.
Damn.
Yeah, that's right. Babies who were unruly, smoking, saying things like, yeah, wise guy.
What
street.
Is a baby, after all, but a rowdy uncle in its larval form?
Ooh, and can't be prosecuted.
Yeah.
A future uncle, a pre-uncle.
Pre-uncles yeah. outside of the law.
Frequently nude.
Uncle Nuggets.
Wandering the house, pantsless, demanding things. Please, follow this train. It's going to take you to a good place.
Uncles.
Fun-sized uncles.
Now imagine that fun-sized uncle will be king one day.
And you will not, because you were too slow being born.
God, how much
now
would it suck?
Your whole life will be, you will be subservient to babies.
I just feel like being called prince as a title after the yeah. age of 40 has to suck. Like,
what if
you okay,
one
Prince
of
Ed?
Positions of all time.
I'm just saying it beats being called Jimbo.
Yeah,
Jimbo is a title of nobility in West Virginia, though.
Wait, is there a prince? Hold on, I'm going to do a quick LinkedIn search. I want to see if there's a
Prince
Jimbo.
Prince Jimbo, certainly.
He's
right? There has
Prince
to be.
Dabo over at it.
So you're searching LinkedIn specifically for princes?
Yeah.
Like, is that where people?
Yeah.
Is that where people post that job? Like, I'm a prince and I'm looking
probably.
To move up.
Prince right, Akanaka Negwo.
So this is how you arrange a marriage between like my daughter, the fourth princess, is looking to marry someone in this court. Do you have anyone? It happens on LinkedIn.
Areas of specialty include. Royalty.
There is a Prince
That's
Jimbo
it.
On LinkedIn. All right. There is a Prince Jimbo on LinkedIn. He's the executive chef at a Hawaiian golf resort.
Holy crap. I totally trust anybody named Prince Jimbo who fixes me food. I don't know. It works.
He's got kind eyes.
In Jamaica. Yeah. We have a friend in Jamaica. That's awesome.
Perfect. Prince Jimbo. 70th on the line right now.
Tell you what, he ain't King Jimbo. King Jimbo's got 75 million.
King Ranch Jimbo.
Is this, y'all saw he got married, right?
What?
What?
No.
There is there's a Jim Boy King on LinkedIn. Go ahead, Ryan.
There's a Jimbette.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher had a COVID wedding. Just him. His wife now and a minister.
And Reveille.
And the minister.
Reveille had to be there.
Minister
yeah.
Reveille.
R.C. Slocum had to officiate. That's the law. That's Aggie law. Aggie law following
oh,
Pepper on USA.
After what we learned last week about him, he's really turned his life around and embraced law.
Well, congratulations to Jimbo Fisher. Hopefully somebody will make sure he doesn't leave the house looking like that now.
That's way kinder than what I was going to say, so let's just go with that.
And it wasn't nice.